You know, I love that song, Jesus Paid It All. And that's really such a powerful thing, because most of you I know are like me, because I know most of you. And I had a great debt to pay. Because when I was younger, I was not considering what God wanted at all. I really didn't care what he wanted. I wasn't thinking about what he wanted. And by the time I came to have my eyes opened to see what the result of my life was going to be and how empty it was going to be and how much God loved me and what he had offered that I had rejected, I was in a bad place. I couldn't just come into God's presence where I was. And that understanding that Jesus Christ died for my sins, that God loved me so much, and he loved each one of us so much, that he came in the form of a man, Jesus Christ, so that we could understand a little more of who he was, and so that we could see how to relate to him by watching him model it as he was a human being. And to know that he had paid for, he had died for every sin that I had committed. And that the door was open for me to come into his presence and start again. That's a wonderful thing. You know, as a father, we understand that. I know my father understood it. I witnessed him give me that kind of grace as my life turned around. And we understand as fathers and as mothers that we love our children. And whatever happens, if it can get turned in the right direction, we don't care. You know, we'll wipe that away just like God wiped it away by paying whatever penalty and taking on his back whatever consequences our sin laid on him. He took that and he's willing to carry it in order for us to have life. And I love the next verse in that we ended with that says, "Oh, praise the Lord who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead." And I've experienced that. And as I look out among you, I see people that I have witnessed your life that was completely separated from God. It was completely separated from the things God wanted. It was completely separated from the things that you wanted deep in your heart, but you didn't realize until you dug the hole so deep that you couldn't get out, that you were not doing what deep in your heart you wanted. And God raised us from the dead. The love of Christ changed our hearts. It gave us the freedom to have a free start and to live without having to carry the guilt, the shame, and the consequences of all our sin. If you'll open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, I'm just going to read this verse, which really goes along with that. It says, "For the love of Christ controls us." Some translations say compels us. Some of them say constrains us. But in other words, what we do is now controlled or constrained or compelled by our love for God, our appreciation for what God has done. It's the love of Christ that controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. It's the realization of the love of God that changes our heart. To be loved the way God loves us gives us the freedom to love him and to love others rather than fear him. And I think it's interesting that in this verse it tells us that we concluded that Christ died not just for me, but he died for all. So we're able to see not only that God loves us, but that God loves everyone. And the gift of joy, the gift of peace, the gift of redemption, the gift of freedom from guilt that we experience from God, that we would trade anything in the world for, he wants that for everybody. And as we realize that, it becomes our heart's ability to see and love people like God does, Because we see the big picture of what God wants to do. And if you'll skip to verse 17, here's what he does. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone decides that they don't want to stay in this world and serve themselves and live for themselves, but realize how much God loves them and they want to be in God's kingdom, and so they step out and embrace God's love through Christ, and they are in Christ. He is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In other words, it changes everything. And it changes our attitude in an instant, like Carter was saying, but then it takes a lifetime to really work all that out. Because it takes... God is, he is so much bigger than us. His love is so much bigger than us. His wisdom is so much greater than ours that we can catch a glimpse of it and it changes us. But that glimpse is not enough. God wants us to see more and more and more of him. And the more we see and the closer we get, the more we are changed. Many of you know that my wife's father died this last week. And we went to the funeral. I saw a really great example when we went to the graveside. They had, you know, everyone was around and they did the ceremony and stuff. And after it was over, you know, people were walking around talking. And I talked to a few, but I don't know very many people. So I was kind of walking around and it's a small family gravesite, probably twice the size of the stage, maybe three times. And it had some gravestones in there. And it had one really huge black marble, shiny gravestone. I'd never seen one quite like that, that color. So I kind of looked at it, and as I went over, it had a little picture on it about this size that was in color, that was embossed on there, and it was of a very, very young man. And as I looked at it, I became curious about it, so I was looking at it, and I started reading the things that were on the tombstone. And then I went around to the other side, and I was reading that, and as I was reading, a man came up to me, and he said, Bill, and he obviously, because they know everybody and I'm the stranger and they know I'm Robin's husband, he knew who I was, but I didn't recognize who he was. And I said, yeah, and he said, do you like that gravestone? And I said, I said, yeah, it's very interesting. And he said, well, what does it say to you? And it had the inscription on it that said, Matthew 25:13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And looking at that and seeing his picture and reading about the family members that were on there that was embossed, there was a lot kind of written on there. I told him, I said, well, it makes me think about how fragile life is. I mean, we're here burying Lee Gale, Robin's father, who is a month away from being 80, and this kid is obviously very young, and yet we think that life is so long and his is so short, but in reality, his life was like that. And we don't know when God's going to call us, and we don't know how much time we have or when God is going to come into our lives or hold us accountable for not allowing him in his life. And he said, yeah, that's what it's there for. He said, that's my son. And he was 19, and he died in a four-wheeler accident. And immediately when he said that, I remembered he actually died on my birthday in 2009. And we jumped in the car and we drove up. The boys were young. And they were young, so I kept the boys, and Robin went to the funeral, so I never actually met them, but I knew about the thing. We actually drove by the place where he was killed, and he said, yeah, he said, you know, we're just so grateful for what God is doing and has done in our lives, because our son, he grew up, you know, we're Christians, he grew up in a Christian home, but, you know how the world is, it's so inviting, and he was pulled away, and we thought we had lost him. And somehow, in his senior year, he found Christ. And he gave his heart to Christ. And he gave his heart to Christ, and he was like a totally different person. And we saw him change, and he just devoured reading the Bible, and he was always trying to serve God. And the pastor had actually asked him if he would like to speak on Sunday night. He was buried on Saturday. He was supposed to speak for the first time in a church on Sunday. And they took the notes that he had made for his sermon, and that's what they did for the funeral. And he just talked and said what huge comfort that had brought him. And if you look in, just flip over to chapter 3 in 2 Corinthians, in verse 18, it really tells us what happened in his life when his eyes were opened to see who Christ was, and he looked and he embraced that. See, a lot of people will have conviction for a moment, and they feel bad and they feel guilty and they're afraid. They're afraid of going to hell. They're afraid of the consequences of their sin. But they really don't want to know Christ and to come into his kingdom. And so they'll be excited that they can feel a little better about themselves for a time, but then they never really know God, and so it seems to fade away. But it tells us why here. It says, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. Some versions say to complement or to contemplate. In other words, to take that time and to really be in awe of God and to desire to know him and to seek to understand his heart and to seek to know why he cares about you, why he sees you, what he wants for you, how involved he really is in your life, to contemplate, to behold the greatness and the glory of the Lord. And that's what glory is. It's how much greater God is than we are. How much more God loves, how much more God sees, how much more God can do. And as we behold that, we are transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. In other words, that goodness and greatness of God becomes real in our lives as we know him more and more. And they saw that in their son. They saw it in their son. And it was of tremendous comfort to them, because they have the bitterness of knowing that he's gone and they won't see him in this life, but they have the sweetness of knowing that he found Christ, that his life was full, that he is in God's hands, and that they will be with him again. And that's why we can mourn, unlike those who have no hope, because we see in what God does in our heart. We see eternity. Now, Jesus tells us in chapter 17 of John, he says, this is eternal life. This is what eternal life is. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Most people think eternal life means I get to live forever. You're going to live forever no matter what. From the time you're born, you go on for eternity. Eternal life is whether or not you are together, united with God, that your relationship with God is alive, or whether or not God is practically dead to you because you don't have any relationship with him, so you live without him and without the hope and the peace and the joy that he brings into our lives. And it's just interesting to know the change that that makes in our attitude and the ability it gives us to grieve with hope when we know that God is alive in that person, and that they truly knew him and they had that relationship with him. And it's what God wants for all of us. It's why we are here together, because we have experienced that and we want the world to experience that. In John 17, 21, later on in that same chapter, this is a long prayer of Jesus. Jesus prayed this. He said that they, and he's speaking of all those who have chosen to know him, to seek him, to embrace him, to answer the call, to come into his kingdom. He says that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. You know, when Robin first found out that her dad had died, I got a call, actually, from her mom who had tried to call her, and I was in a staff meeting, and I found out, and so I tried to rush home because I didn't want her to find out on the phone. And when I got home, she had already noticed the missed phone call from her mom and called her, and she was, you know, hysterically crying and very, very upset, and because they had a close relationship and she loved her dad. And so I came in and you know, tried to let her cry it out, and it's good that she expressed it because she needs to get that out. And then once she got that out, then she starts processing it. And one of the things that I said to her was that, you know, Robin, I knew your dad. I had many conversations with him. And he's 79 years old, pressurizing the house the day that he died. And he did not want to not be able to go out with the cattle and to work. He did not want to go to a nursing home. He did not want to be in a place where the doctors were telling him you can't get around. I said, your dad lived like he wanted to. God gave him the life that he wanted, and he died the way that he wanted to. And she started thinking about that, and she started thinking about the blessings that God had given her and her father. And she started thinking about the blessings of what God had even done in answering his prayer on how he would leave. And it brought her that comfort, because as she focused on God, he was able to bring that peace into her life. Now, we went to the visitation. And when we got to the visitation, now this is a small town. There's 4,000 people in the town. There were like over 1,000 people that came to the visitation. The funeral director kept coming up and saying, man, you guys have a lot of friends, but I've never seen anything like this. And they were all people who had come, and they were telling stories about how her dad, Lee Gale, had just inspired them spiritually because of the way he had lived his life and the things that he would say and the way he would stop and listen. And they had no idea how many people that he had touched. There was a group that he had started meeting with about 5 years ago for breakfast. And his youngest son told me that, he said, those guys, I didn't even know Dad was doing that. And they came in and they're all boo-hooing, and they're talking about how Lee Gale inspired them and pointed them to Christ. And there's a guy who's at the RV place has an RV place that he opened up across the street from where Lee Gale. And Lee Gale went over and met him. And the guy said, you know, my father passed away. I had no one I could really talk to. And Lee Gale just kind of became my father, and I was able to talk with him. And the reason it struck me is because it was very similar to my dad's funeral. In my dad's funeral, and my dad was totally different. My dad was an Army officer. He graduated from West Point. He was in charge of something all of his life. He moved here. He went to K. Arthur's School for the Bible, and he went into CBMC. Then he was running CBMC. He's always been a person that was in charge of something. And so, you know, to go to my dad's funeral knowing that he was in charge of a large ministry in this town was not surprising that he had touched many lives. I knew how many people he'd led to Christ. But Lee Gale was a farmer, and his wife told us, he said, he would always say, well, I just can't really do anything. Let me go mow the yard. Let me go do these things. But everybody knew that he knew that Bible, that he spoke that Bible, that he lived by that Bible, that he loved, like the Bible said, and that he was humble. And to see how God had worked through his life was amazing. And Robin said, she said, you know, I feel like I want to speak at the funeral. All of you know Robin. That's a huge stretch for her. And she said, but I'm afraid, I don't think I can do it. And I said, well, Robin, why do you want to speak at his funeral? And she said, because I just want to honor him. And I said, well, you know, the funeral is for closure for the family. Lee Gale's not here. They're coming for you And if you break down and you cry, that's okay. There, it's closure for you. If you feel like you need to do it and you don't do it, you're always going to wish you did. And so she said, you know what? I'm going to do it. And then her younger brother, I'm riding with him to go get some stuff, some clothes that we need for the funeral. And he goes, he says, you know, Robin's going to speak at the funeral. He said, I really would like to too, but I just don't think I can do it or whatever. And I said the same thing to him. So he spoke also. And he gave the best picture that I've ever heard of how farming and ranching and taking care of things and helping other people was an expression of his faith in God that I've ever heard. And then Robin got up and she talked about the conversations that her father and her mother and I and her had at our house and at their house. And we've had many, many conversations. And the things that she said, this is what my dad lived for. This is what my dad would want you to hear about your life and Christ. And she talked about that and she felt good. And we went back and we're eating and things are going on and it's getting late. They're going to probably stay up long. I'm ready for bed, so I'm going into the bedroom, and Robin comes in, and she says, Bill, I need your help. And I said, what? She said, Michelle, who is 60 years old, she said, she came to me, and she said, you know, I was raised in a Catholic background, and I've read the Bible, and I know about Jesus and stuff, but she said, I've always just felt like there's something missing. And it's just something we do. And when you spoke, there was something inside of me that said, that's what I've been looking for all my life. It's what I don't have. Tell me what you have that I don't have. And so Robin was talking to her, and I said, you don't need any help. And she said, well, just come on. And so we went, and we sat there, and we talked for about 45 minutes. And we explained to her what a relationship with God was. We explained to her that sin was rejecting. God said, I don't want to know what you want from me. I don't want to do what you want. I don't want a relationship with you. I want to do what I want. And we explained to her about why Christ died. He died not because we've done these things wrong. He died because we had rebelled and rejected God. And he wanted to open a door to have a relationship with God. And she said, can it be that simple? She said that 3 or 4 times. Can it be that simple? And I said, well, you know the scriptures. And we would read scriptures. And she would say, it is that simple. And knowing God is what I have wanted all my life. But I've never thought I could actually seek him. I've never thought that God would want to be with me. And so she prayed to receive Christ. And that made a huge difference also in how Robin was able to process what had happened with her dad. Because she realized both in his life and in his death, God was working. And God was still working. And it was because God had changed him. And everyone there, he grew up and lived there 79, almost 80 years. And everybody knew who he was, and everybody knew what he had became, and everybody knew the 60 years that he had lived faithful to that change. And that is what God wants from us. She said to me one other thing, and I'm going to kind of close with this right here. She said, this conversation, it's like I've waited for it all my life. This is what I needed. And I told her, I said, well, I have conversations like this every day. It's what God wants for us. That Christ is the center of our life, that we are united with other believers, and that we share our faith and encouragement and hope and peace. We share it with each other and with the world. And I'm just going to read you again from Acts 2:46. They worship together in the temple each day, every day. Met in homes, which is what we were doing there. For the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. You know, we got a lady in this church, just like many of you, that had a miraculous conversion. She was about 40 years old when that happened. She went from a place of being very, very torn up inside, depressed, empty, hopeless, to a place that because a lady in our church and another Christian friend shared Christ with her, and she became a Christian. She started coming, at first sitting in the way back, afraid that she wouldn't fit in, but she found the love and the community that Christ wants her to have, and God just transformed her life in tremendous ways. About the time that she became a Christian and got settled in church is when her health just completely fell apart. She had a stroke. She's got a Ramsey-Hunt's disease. She's got liver disease. And now they tell her she's still in the stage of they're looking, but they're telling her that they think she has leukemia. They've done the test to try to take, you know, all the things that it could be are all negative. So that's the only thing left. And so she's looking at having this bone marrow thing that they check for the leukemia. All of that happened. And she is so grateful, because if those things would have come on her before she knew Christ, she could not handle it. And she says, I was talking to her a couple of nights ago on the phone, and she said, I just feel like God's hands are just pressing on me. And I just feel like I'm overwhelmed with the love of God. And I just want to tell everybody how grateful I am what God is doing. And whatever happens, I'm just so grateful for what God has done in my heart, and I know that I'm going to be with him, and I'm ready. And then she started telling me of a story of conversations that she'd had with this man who was looking at a lawnmower. And just, she's a picture of what Jesus is talking about, of being a light from the world because of what's in her heart. That is the gift of Christ. It is what Christ wants everyone to experience, not religion, not to clean their lives up, not to do a little better, but to behold the glory of who he is and be in awe of the overwhelming, unfathomable love of Christ in our lives, and to have that captivate our hearts and transform who we are. And when your loved one is like that, you don't have fear. And it's what we all want to give to those around us. We all want to be able to live out what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We want to live in the newness of life, realizing that because he died for us, we can live for him. And that life is a full life, even without that. Let's pray. Father, there is no hope in this world without you. We can chase after all kinds of things that promise us that they will bring us happiness and fulfillment and peace and joy and acceptance and love. But none of them come through. And the more we chase and the more we grab and the more we have, the more we realize that nothing can fulfill our hearts but you. And when you take a hold of our hearts, everything is different. And Father, we thank you for the power of your Spirit, the miraculous power of your Spirit to give us true life. And Father, we want that. And right now, as we're praying, if there's anyone there who senses, Lord, that they don't know you like that. They viewed Christianity as a set of rules or as a goal to aspire to, but they don't see or live with you as a part of their life. And you've opened their eyes, and they realize right now that they have nothing without you. But with you, they have everything. And Father, right now, I just pray that that as we pause for a moment to either ask for that connection with you or to thank you for it, that they will find you and reach out to you in their hearts. And I'm going to give you just a moment to pray on your own. Father, take our lives. We thank you that our sins have been paid for, that we are forgiven through Christ. And we accept that forgiveness and we accept your love and your authority in our lives. We give ourselves to you and we ask you to do your mighty work in transforming our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.